You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you save and restore your relationship no matter what's going on, no matter where you are. And today I want to talk about the top 10 myths of marital therapy. Now, if you've tuned in at all, you know a little bit about my history. I used to do marital therapy. And what happened in my history was, as I was working on this training, I was trained as a marital therapist. I did specialized training. And I came out and I was working and I was getting frustrated with the results I was seeing. And so I began to question what I was doing wrong. In the meantime, I was working on a coaching approach that kind of made a difference, but I was really worried about what was going on with marital therapy. Well, I did some research, did a lot of digging into the meta-analysis of this, and I discovered that by and large, there are some real crises in marriage therapy. So let's just talk about this, the top 10 myths of marital therapy, and let's start off with the first one. The first one is the myth that marital therapy is effective. Let's just even start off with that very one because we want to knock that right off the list. Marital therapy has not been shown in research to be effective. In fact, what it has shown is that about 85 to 90% of the people who go say they got no effect, no help from it. And the statistics are that a good many, like about 80% of the couples who go to therapy, end up divorced anyway. And so I want you to kind of think about this. If you went to a doctor and the doctor said, hey, you know what? You need this procedure. Now, I've got to tell you, about 75 to 80% of the people who have this treatment end up dead. And only 5, maybe 10% sometimes even show any improvement. But I want you to have it. My question is, would you sign up for that? Because I wouldn't. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not people who go through marital therapy and save their relationship and are happy with it. There are. That statistically shows that. But we're looking at the larger scope of the statistics that show that the vast majority, 75 to 80%, still end up divorced. And only 5 to 10, at the most 15% if you look at the research, even say it helped their relationship. And that's why it's such a crisis, I think, and for me to watch this happen. Now, if you found a good therapist, great. I'm grateful that you have found that. If you're trying to find a great therapist, if you want to know how to question them and find the best ones, send me an email, lee@savethemarriage.com, lee@savethemarriage.com, and just say, hey, I want the resource on finding help for my marriage. I'd be glad to get it to you. There are some good therapists around, which brings us to number two. There's a myth that marriage therapists have special training. Now, it's a myth that all marriage therapists have special training. Some do. In fact, many have special training. Many have completed coursework specifically in what's known as systems theory, an understanding of relational pieces, not the psychic, you know, not the psyche that's individual psychology, looking at the unconscious and all those pieces, but really about relationships, systems understanding of it. And so many do have special training, but not all do. Many people have just hung out their shingle and said, I'm a marriage therapist, because that was who they were getting to come in. They were trained as individual therapists, and that really is one of the crisis points for marriage therapy, that there are individual therapists, people who are trained to see individuals trying to work with couples. It's a whole different approach. And that's the problem. It's kind of like somebody who knows how to play basketball one-on-one may not have a clue on how to play as a zone defense, or may not have a clue on how to play as a team. There's just different levels of training. And it's not that there's anything wrong with individual therapy training. It's just that it doesn't always, or often even, extend into marriage therapy. So there's your second myth, that a marriage therapist has special training. They don't have to. That's just not a protected thing in most states. Okay, number three, the third myth of marital therapy is that communication skills are what we need. I see this over and over, that really is a go-to place for a lot of marital therapists. communication is not the issue. As I talked about in my top 10 list of myths about marriage, there's also it there that, you know, we need better communication. And I understand the allure of that. That someone comes in your office and says, hey, we need some communication skills. Those are easy to teach. They're really easy to do. But that's not what's necessary. What's really necessary is not the communication skills as much as the perception issues, and that is often missed. And the interaction between two people, that's often missed in the office. And so when you go in for marital therapy, if what you're getting is a lot of communication skills, I can tell you the outcome is not going to be great, because that's not the real heart of the issue. It's just the easy one to teach. Okay, so the fourth myth is looking at past problems will help in the future. I read an analogy just the other day where looking at the past problems is kind of like walking backwards, looking at the potholes you've walked into in order to avoid the ones that are in front of you. It just doesn't work. You keep stepping into them. And this is the problem. When we go back to the past problems, we capture ourselves in the past problems, that we reimagine those past problems. It used to be when I was doing marriage therapy, I would sometimes have a couple that would come in. They would be in my waiting room, and I'd be in the other room, you know, getting ready for them, and I'd hear them laughing and joking with each other. And then they would come into my office, and they would be smiling, and I'd ask how things are going, and they would say they're doing great. And then we would talk about something, and all of a sudden, the light went on, the switch happened, and they went to the problem spot, because that's what you do in therapy. You talk about your problems. So they would bring up these problems from the past, and the whole mood changed in the room. It would crash and burn. And the reason is because they had a belief, and I did for a long time, that looking at those past problems is going to help. Now, it is important to understand the dance that's happened. But the real question is, are you going to build something? My feeling is that a lot of marital therapy is based on doing an archaeology dig. And I tend to think that marriage is based on doing an architectural redesign. And those are two very different approaches. An archaeological dig is very interesting. You know, if you were to go somewhere historic and you dig up the bones and you look at them, it's very interesting to postulate what might have been, how they might have lived. And, you know, just the other day I was reading about how they were hoping to discover the color of the feathers of dinosaurs. Very interesting, you know, to be able to do a picture of a dinosaur in that color is very interesting, but it doesn't help much because that dinosaur is still extinct and all you're digging up is dead bones. And so a lot of times that's not real helpful, as opposed to an architectural redesign, which is to say, how are we going to make this function? How are we going to build something great? The problem is, looking at those past problems doesn't help a lot in building something new down the road. So there's your myth number four, that looking at past problems will help the situation. Usually all it does is help you relive the toxic situations that keep you stuck. Okay, the fifth myth is that we need to fight it out. We just need a referee. And this is one of those that I really find interesting, because it's a myth that I've seen over and over, both in therapy and outside of that, where we just need to get this out. There's this cathartic experience. Over the weekend, I was listening to this woman who does heavy metal in somewhere in a Swedish area. And she said that all of her heavy metal stuff, her lyrics come from a place of anger and hurt. And the person interviewing said, do you find that helpful? And she said, you know, I thought it would be cathartic, but it's not. And she's exactly right. What we have proven is that fighting things out does not help. It can feel cathartic because you get a lot of adrenaline going and the adrenaline calms down. And it's kind of like going on a sprint and then calming down. The sprint can be painful and hurtful and all that. And then after the sprint's over, you know, you kind of feel some elation from it. And you think that that's doing something good for you. But in terms of fighting, it doesn't. It doesn't change anything. And in fact, all it does is inflict scars on each other, because it doesn't get anything out. That's a belief that is from ancient, not ancient, but old individual therapy. In fact, it was based on the Freudian model of a steam engine. Freud used the steam engine as his idea of the psyche, that you got to have a release valve and you got to get some of that pressure out. And so we believe in this cathartic experience in our culture that has not been proven to be at all therapeutic, and certainly not helpful for a couple. Fighting it out usually leaves lots of lumps and scars, and having a referee does little to help that process. Okay, so number six, the sixth myth of marital therapy is the therapist can and will convince my spouse to stay. I see this over and over, that people drag a spouse into therapy who doesn't want to be there and probably is even convinced that they don't want to be in the relationship. And they drag them in with this belief that we therapists have this secret formula where we can convince somebody to stay. What you don't know is most therapists are resistant to trying to convince anybody of anything. And so instead of convincing, you watch the other person become more resistant. Because here's what happens. We all have this built-in thing that if somebody tries to convince us of something, we pull back harder. So there you are in a therapy session. You've dragged a spouse in who doesn't want to be there, and you're trying to convince them to work on the relationship. That spouse is then going to talk about why they can't do that, how they can't save the relationship, how they can't work on the relationship. And in the process, what they're actually doing is convincing themselves more and more firmly that they can't do it, that they convince themselves even more deeply that they can't work on the relationship. And so instead of reducing the resistance, almost always it raises the resistance. There's no reduction. There's only raising the resistance. And so if you drag someone in, you only end up often with a more resistant client. In fact, I have a policy that when I'm doing phone coaching, I won't deal with somebody who doesn't want to be there. Both people or one person has to want to be there and working on the relationship. Okay, so that brings us to myth number 8, and that is that the therapist will tell us or tell me what to do. Therapists are trained to not tell you what to do, which is great in individual therapy, where you come up with where you need to get to. But if you don't know what you're doing in a relationship, sometimes you need somebody to point the way. Sometimes you need a roadmap, and most therapists are resistant to giving you a roadmap. That's kind of why I came up with the Save the Marriage system, to create a roadmap to help people understand where to get to. Because, you know, it's kind of like if you're feeling lost and you're anxious about it, you're driving down the road, you're feeling lost, you're anxious about it, and you pull over on the side of the road and you say, "Hey, I need to get to this place." And they go, yeah, you need to get there, but let's calm you down. Let's get you calm. And they work to calm you down. That's great. That's a good first step. But it doesn't tell you how to get to your destination. You're still lost. You still don't have any other different understanding of where you're trying to get to. If you haven't been able to build a direction at this point, then not knowing the next step isn't going to help. And so, unfortunately, therapy is not designed to teach you the skills of what to do to rebuild a relationship. In fact, that's often all that's necessary. Many times people find that when they understand what they're trying to build, they understand where they're trying to get to, not a lot else has to happen in the process. But therapy is not set up to teach you how to build a marriage. It's set up to work on the broken places of a relationship. And I say work, not heal. Which brings us to number 9. And I feel better after session, so it must be working. And this is the myth. And the myth is that at the end of these sessions, that a cathartic, you feel better, and it all is going to help. And you know, that cathartic experience is what you really need. And it just doesn't tend to pan out that way. That when, even though you might feel better after a session, nothing fundamentally has changed in the relationship. And so you're still stuck. And I believe I need to repeat or to add in another number 9, because I think I skipped one. And that one is, let's call it number 9.5. If therapy won't work, nothing will work. And this is where people realize that therapy's not working well and they just say, you know, nothing's going to work. Well, the truth is there are a lot of other modalities of working on a relationship. In fact, I include several of those in that report on how to get help for your marriage. So just, you know, if you want that, let me know. You can just send me an email, lee@savethemarriage.com, and I'll send it back to you. It's a PDF, so you can read it on just about anything. But there are other modalities. The problem is we live in a culture that is therapized. We have so psychologized and therapized our culture that I can tell people that therapy is not going to be particularly helpful, and they'll go, "Oh, that's great. Now, can you refer me to a therapist?" And we don't often recognize how therapized we are. And so people go to therapy as kind of the last resort, thinking there's nothing else that can happen. There are lots of things that can happen. Some things can happen within the relationship just by one person making changes. Sometimes it's going to a retreat, which is a little easier sometimes than going to therapy. Or sometimes it's getting an in-home study course. But there are, or even relationship coaching, which is what we offer at my program and what I do. And so there are different modalities that do show effectiveness in changing things. If therapy isn't working or you can't get your spouse to a therapist, that doesn't mean you have to just wait it out. Things can improve when you find the right resources and understandings. So just because therapy might not be, or in my opinion, won't be the best approach, there are other things you can do. Which brings us to the last one, and that is this belief that any therapist, any therapy style works, and so I'll go where my insurance wants me to go. I want you to really think about this. If you look for somebody to work on your house, you might go online and read reviews, and you might do a lot of research. If you're going to have major surgery, you probably look into who knows how to do it. But a lot of times, people allow their decisions to be made by insurance on how they're going to get help for their relationship. I would challenge you to make it important to find the best resources, to find the best ways of dealing with your marriage, not just the cheapest and easiest and the quick way out, but to find some real help. So let me invite you. I have a system that is designed to help you make some steps forward in your relationship to understand what a marriage truly is about and to give you resources on how to rebuild that. You can find links for that in my material, or you can just go to savethemarriage.com. There's a link to that in the show notes, but you can also just type in savethemarriage.com and grab that. If you have that and you say, you know what, I still need some help, okay, I'm convinced that maybe marriage therapy isn't the best thing. We do have relationship coaches on staff, and I do have the virtual coaching program, and I do also offer some coaching on my own. So you can check all of those things out by going to savethemarriage.com/coaching, savethemarriage.com/coaching, and find out about those resources. Let me be very clear with you that just because I have some misgivings about marriage therapy doesn't mean there might not be some great therapists out there. In fact, I know many of them, and that you may have a great therapist. If the therapy is not working, there are some reasons outside of your relationship that that might be true. Not only that, but there are some resources that can help you get beyond that. Use the Save the Marriage system. Use coaching from our staff. Go to a marriage retreat. Find some help. If you need help with that, just drop me an email, lee@savethemarriage.com, and ask for the How to Get Help for Your Marriage publication, and I'll get that right to you, and you can get started. Or you can check out our coaching at savethemarriage.com/coaching. And if you haven't gotten the system yet, do start there, savethemarriage.com. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.